Hi, everybody. And it's just 12 o'clock. So as people are joining us, I'm just going to welcome everybody to today's session. This is the second Sami Dune Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network webinar. We've started this series, of course, as many of us are at home in our respective countries and our respective locations due to COVID-19. But we know it's so important to continue the struggle for Palestine, especially at a time when many Palestinians are among the most vulnerable people threatened by the pandemic, as well as by occupation, apartheid, colonialism, and settler colonialism. As we're seeing right now in Israeli prisons, where Palestinians are in a situation where they already face severe medical neglect, where they already face medical mistreatment, if COVID-19 is allowed to enter the prisons, then we know that the Israeli healthcare system within Israeli jails will not provide the protection that Palestinian prisoners need. And just yesterday, it was announced that the first person who was just released from Israeli prison was in fact the first Palestinian political prisoner was discovered to have COVID-19. Despite the fact that he has been diagnosed and tested, Israeli occupation prison authorities have refused to test or even properly quarantine the prisoners that he was held with in Section 14 of Ofer Prison. As a result, 10 prisoners have launched a hunger strike, and prisoners in several Israeli jails have begun to close their sections. So the struggle inside Israeli jails, the threat of COVID-19 in Gaza, and of course the threat that COVID-19 also presents to Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon and elsewhere, is a severe threat. At the same time, the threat of COVID-19 does not override the primary threat to Palestinian lives and existence, which is settler colonialism, imperialism, and Zionism. So with that being said, today's webinar is going to focus on Palestinian refugees. It's going to focus on the situation in Palestinian refugee camps and the right of return. It is a fundamental, indelible right of the Palestinian people that has come under attack and under threat to an increasing degree, by Donald Trump, by U.S. imperialism, by their associates around the world. So we're very pleased to have with us today Mohammed Khatib, who is himself a Palestinian refugee who was born in Ain al-Hilwa and is now living in Europe. And he's also the Europe coordinator of Sami Dune Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network. Just to let you know, many of these kinds of events that are taking place have been disrupted by right-wing and fascist trolls. And so because of that situation, we are leaving people on mute. And in general, we are turning off folks' videos. At the same time, we know that many of you have been active in the Palestinian movement for many years, and we're so honored to see that you're with us today. Among you is, we have Neda Ilya from the U.S., from the U.S. Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel. We have Amani Barakat, the National Chair of Al-Awda, the Palestine Rights Return Coalition in the United States, many other longtime activists who are with us on the call today. So we do want to hear what you have to say later in the call. Again, because of the issue that has been taking place with fascist trolls, the chat box will send your chats directly to me as the host. Just if you have a comment, if you have a question, or if you'd like to speak, send me a note in the chat and I will save your information. And when we get into the Q&A period, I can either present your question or let you present your question or make your comment or intervention. Just so you know, this is being recorded and it is going to be published on the internet. If you want to make an intervention or a comment, but you don't want it to be recorded and published on the internet, send it to me in the chat box and I will read out your comments as part of the discussion later. So with that being said, I don't want to belabor this any longer. From my end, I see that many people are joining. Right now we have 36. We expect people will continue to join throughout the call. So with that being said, I want to turn this over to Mohammed Khatib and invite you to begin your presentation. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And we're looking forward to a fruitful discussion that can continue to build and strengthen our movement to support Palestinians in the struggle for return and liberation from the river to the sea.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Charlotte, very much for organizing this and also for the presentation. I hope you are all doing well and healthy and feeling safe with what we are facing, this coronavirus everywhere. Many of you, some very close friends, we haven't met or talked since a long time. And as Charlotte mentioned, we are here, many different or many organizers from different countries and from different campaigns or organizations. So I think it's a great opportunity that we are coming together in this event, and especially that we are using this crisis, let's say, that to focus or to use our time to see our situation, how we can organize ourselves much better. I think in the same time, the occupation and our enemy and the colonial power is doing the same. Today we see with this coronavirus in Palestine, the Zionist occupation are intensifying their attack. We see high number of mass arrests, house demolition is still going on, bombing of Gaza, the blockade. Palestinian community in 1948 are more oppressed yesterday night in Jaffa. The Israeli police intervened, like entered within Palestinian community and beating a woman in the street because under that she's breaking the law about the lockdown. So our enemy everywhere also, the Zionist movement and the right wing, are trying to use this opportunity to create more nationalist and right wing narrative. So I think it's more putting us in a duty that to organize and mobilize ourselves much better within this situation. And also especially because we know all the humanity are attacked today by this coronavirus, but we know that the most vulnerable communities within our societies are attacked, especially when we say the refugee camps, not only in Lebanon or Syria or Jordan or in Palestine, but also in Greece, the situation of the refugee camps today in Germany, or the situation of the Palestinians, refugees, let's say, in Belgium, when they still live in refugee camps, undocumented, unrecognized, with the negative answers from the asylum services, as Gaza is not recognized anymore in Europe as a dangerous place. So these communities that need our support and our attention more, and also the political prisoners that we are all following the situation. And I'm not giving a lecture because we are all here almost on the same page, and we are working together on a daily basis, and we are aware about the current situation. I think it's a good, I will give some points or thoughts that I have been thinking about during this period, that how we can maybe raise the question of, and also it's very important, the topic, the title of the event, because it's a very simple but very direct to our cause. Because I do believe as a Palestinian refugee, you grow up in a refugee camp and lived there for 20 years in Lebanon. And then I came to Europe for another ride of being a refugee, and I lived in refugee camps in Belgium for almost 3 years, and I struggled for 6 years until I was documented. And this is not a special case. This is where how millions of Palestinians are struggling outside in diaspora for document and for being deprived by traveling and so on. So I think focusing today, because our cause as the Palestinian cause, the core of it is liberation and return. So the right of return for our people is the main cause in our struggle. And we cannot forget about this or stop organizing regarding the right of return as a very important topic. And when I hear, for example, a name of an organization in the United States of America, it's named Al-Auda, or a Dabke band in Belgium called Raja'in, that we will return. I think this is where we should more focus and organize. Today, the situation of the refugee camps in Lebanon, it's very difficult to explain how our people live in Lebanon. If you don't go and see and live with the people there for a short of time, you cannot explain this in a presentation. And you are all aware about what kind of laws they are deprived to, what rights they are deprived to, and they have no access to work, they have no access to medical care. They are living in a concentration camps almost, Ain Helwi camp, that has more than 100,000 residents, which is 1 kilometer. So we can imagine what we say when we say refugee camp. But why today the right of return, the refugees themselves, are not part of our national liberation movement? What role we play as a Palestinians in diaspora today in our national liberation movement? How we participate in the decision, how we participate in the movement itself. I think what was the most change within our liberation movement, of course it comes with Oslo, but from the 70s when the direction went about thinking about the state solution, and when two-state solution came, and Oslo and Madrid, this was the destruction of the national our national liberation movement. And the role of the Palestinian Authority after that to play is to deprive the Palestinians in diaspora to play their duty and roles within the our national liberation movement, because we are talking about half of the Palestinian society. And also this refugee, this population today, it's changed, like in terms of geography, in terms of numbers, in terms of skills, in terms of knowledge, in terms of economical situations. We have strong changes that we have to, as a movement, we have to restudy and to relook where, how numbers we have of Palestinians in the United States, what skills and knowledge they have, and how their economical situation, and what kind of participation they can do, how they can play their role to support the steadfastness of our people in West Bank and Gaza and 48, but also how we can support the camps. We cannot forget, for example, the role that the camps played during the Palestinian Revolution in the 70s and 80s until the beginning of 90s, when the Palestinian refugee camps in Jordan and Lebanon and in Syria hosted all the most of the national liberation movement from around the world. The Black Panthers from the US, the socialists, the South African comrades. This level of mutual solidarity, this level of practical solidarity and relationship, comrade and community relationship, not just through statement or how we are today also more going, not just because of the coronavirus, but in general turning on mostly on social media networking and campaigning than rather being involved directly with our communities in the street and at homes. So I think it's a big duty today for us, if we think as a Palestinians that where is our lack and why we are here today in this situation after 70 years of struggle, why we have today Oslo Agreement and what the role that the PA is playing and how we can build our movement in the diaspora to gain our rights and to struggle back for the right of return, which is the main core of our cause. And we are in a very privileged situation today, I think, as a Palestinian refugees than before. It doesn't mean that we live in the best conditions, but we are not under the Palestinian Authority. Our people, yes, the Palestinian Authority can manipulate or play a role, let's say in Lebanon, in the refugee camps, using some economical means or some institutions or some services that the people are really in need, and they are using this to attract the community. But how the Palestinian Authority today have an effect on the Palestinians in Germany or in the United States? I am liberated from this. They cannot arrest us. They cannot arrest us and then hand us over to the Zionist movement as what they are doing today in West Bank. This is very dangerous, what we face within our national liberation movement. I am sure many of us here, Palestinians, not only comrades and friends from the Solidarity movement, we have to think together seriously about this. We are not during the national liberation movement when we have differences. This is not differences. We have today security coordination with the Zionist movement. This is presented by the so-called representative of our people. But this security coordination doesn't only include and affect the Palestinian political prisoners or our people in West Bank. It affects our people in Lebanon. It affects us working and organizing in the United States and Europe. This community, very small community within our people, can play a very dangerous role. But how we as a Palestinians in diaspora can play our role back to protect our peoples in Palestine? How we can play our role back as a solidarity movement to support the steadfastness of the camps? How we are sending today, for example, medical staff to volunteer, not under the NGO narrative, to send volunteers to live and with the people of the camps? How we will explain the situation in the north and in the west, and how we will talk about the situation of the camps and the refugees if we don't know and haven't been there. Today, people are hungry in the camps. How they will be in the state of mind, let's say, to think and to struggle how to confront the Zionist movement? If your stomach is empty, and if you are seized, and if the Panadol and Paracetamol you are receiving, it's only from the United Nations, and you have to campaign for this. And today it's becoming a revolutionary to say, oh, we should donate for the United Nations. In the 70s and 80s, we didn't need United Nations. We used to recognize as Palestinians the United Nations as a reactionary institution serving the benefits of the colonial regimes. But today we need, why we need the United Nations? Because we don't have a Palestinian alternative. And the Palestinian alternative is hijacked by the Palestinian capitalists and also by the Palestinian Authority. And those, their main role is to prevent the right of return from being on the agenda, and also to prevent the refugees and the Palestinians in diaspora to play a role in the liberation, not to play a role in the PA. Today they have another institution working with the Palestinian migrants rather than the Palestinian refugee. So recognizing the Palestinian communities around the world as a migrants, and they are belonging to the embassy. But I cannot be a migrant because I don't have Palestinian passport. I'm not under the PA authority. So I'm not Palestinian. That's simple. I am some random stateless refugee in Europe. And this is what the PA is working on. So the PA role is not only dangerous in West Bank or dangerous on being part of the siege on Gaza, but it's dangerous also about the role they play against us. Another topic, I think, because Charlotte mentioned some the BDS committees, and also work in Belgium and everywhere I have been, being involved with the boycott committees and with BDS. But today, for example, one of the main goals why we call for boycott is because of the right of return. But where we are organizing as a BDS committees about right of return? For me, I see organizing as if I'm a BDS committee in Belgium, I will organize an event. The title should be the right of return, and the organizer will be the BDS committee. I will not organize an event about title BDS just like this. I should focus about prisoners, refugees. This is my goals. This is where this is the subject. This is the cause of the struggle. I will not make an event called it Samidun, because Samidun is not my goal. Samidun, the tool I use to advocate and to support political prisoners. But I do event and I organize for prisoners, and this is what we should do. I think building again direct relationships with the progressive, democratic, youth, independent, non-profit, and also not NGOs, organizations in the camps today is very much necessary. Building relationships between political organizations in Europe and in the United States, progressive, struggling for the right of migrants, refugees, people of colors, workers, trade unions, this is necessary and very important. Focusing and minimizing our activism and our thinking and our support within the PA borders, I think this is a danger that we can play as a Palestinians, but also as a part of the solidarity movement. Also, if we question it, this is also what I have been thinking about lately a lot. The biggest number of Palestinians community living today in diaspora are in Jordan. More than 5 million Palestinians living in Jordan. Where and why, where our people are involved in the struggle of Palestine? Where are the skills of these tens of thousands of Palestinian youth in the camps in Jordan or in Amman? How they are allowed to play their role within for the National Liberation Movement? So I think it's also, it's not realistic if we keep criticizing the PA as a Palestinians, I mean, and focusing on the weaknesses. I think what we should do today is to meet on the minimum national understanding that we all agree on, right of return, the liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea, democratic society after liberation, right and equal rights for the popular classes. Our priority is the refugees and the migrants and the poor communities. If we say, if we keep saying that as a progressive movement or leftist, that we see the leaders of the movement or the most people who are affected is the most vulnerable. So our role is to support them and to make them the leaders of the movement. And they are the ones who are ready to sacrifice and to give everything, because nothing to lose. What do you have to lose if you live in Al Helwi camp or in Al Baqa camp in Jordan under this condition? Our people and our youth, I went to Lebanon a few months ago, and I went to several camps. And if you meet a random Palestinian people, if they are angry about the political situation, they are angry because no one is doing anything for them. This is how they see it. Because no one is fighting Israel. No one is fighting for their rights. And they want to be involved, but they need an alternative. No one is approaching this. I think this is the role today of the Palestinians in diaspora. We are not under occupation. We are free to move, and we are free from, of course, in certain level. For example, Germany deported Khaled Barakat. Or I understand in the United States, we have also Palestinian political prisoners, and we can be confronted. And this level of confrontation exists in somehow and in some level. And we should understand it and think in several ways how also in the same time we can protect us and we can build our institution that can play this role. So I think our main role today in diaspora, and especially as Palestinians, organizers, and movements, to build back our Palestinians' institutions in the diaspora that they can play the role of supporting our people in Palestine and in the camps, but in the same time, build and offer a national alternative for our right of return. This is very, very important. I think I will not talk more. I'll keep on this, and maybe more we can open the discussion. What do you think, Charlotte? I don't know how much time I have.
Okay, well, thank you, Mohammed. I mean, these webinars, we typically run them for about an hour. So I do have a few people that I would like to invite to say a few words. But I also think I might ask you a few questions as well to kind of guide the discussion moving forward. And before we get started and before we move on into the discussion portion of the webinar, I just want to let people know about two upcoming events that are also being organized online in the coming days. I've posted the information about these events in the chat, but I want people to know about them as well, and you can see the links to the events in the chat. Tomorrow, there will be an Arabic language webinar hosted by Samidun in Arabic and Karama in Madrid. And this will be focused on boycott, solidarity, and the Palestinian movement. And the speakers will be Khaled Barakat and Hadia Abu Bakra. This is going to take place tomorrow, Friday, 3 April. It will take place at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Europe, 8 p.m. Palestine time. And the link for Zoom and Facebook is in the chat. In addition, next week at the same time on April 9th, exactly the same time that this webinar is taking place today, there will be the third Samidun webinar of this period. This one will focus on the case of George Ibrahim Abdullah, the Lebanese Arab communist struggler for Palestine who's been imprisoned in French jails for the past 35 years. This one will take place If you can register, it's also a registration required event, just like this one. So there's a link here in the chat and you can register there and sign up. We'll be hearing from representatives of Collectif Palestine Vaincre, which is an organization in Toulouse, France. It's a member organization of Samedune Network. And it's also, one of the organizations that does a tremendous amount of work on the campaign to free George and regularly communicates with him, visits with him inside La Maison prison, and has a great deal of information and political analysis to provide to us about this important case of a prisoner of the Palestinian movement jailed in France. So we're looking forward to seeing many of you join us for both of those events. The webinar tomorrow will take place in Arabic, and the one next week will be taking place in English. So I do have a few questions here that people have submitted for me to present to Mohammed. And I also have a few people on the call that we'd like to ask to bring their voice into the conversation. So before I get started in bringing people on, I want to ask you one question, and then I'm going to start bringing on some of the other folks and then go to some of the other questions as well. So the first question that I want to ask to you, Mohammed, is relating to what you said about the reliance of the movement on NGOs and support by the United Nations. What should be the role of international solidarity, and how do you see what do you see as the meaning of international solidarity with Palestine today?
You mean international solidarity role on like replacing the alternative of the NGOs and the United Nations?
Yeah, like what do you see as the proper role for international solidarity, specifically also on the questions of the camps, the refugees, and the right of return?
I think we have, as we mentioned, like we have history of this relation between the international solidarities and the refugee camps and the for the right of return. The alternative should be very simple, because also as a Palestinian community in diaspora and even inside Palestine, we are not the very poor, we're not poor society. Huh? So we have a Palestinian bourgeoisie, we have a Palestinian business, we have a national bourgeoisie that they want to play a role and they are ready to support, I'm sure, and to practice with this. But I think also the international solidarity movement, as I know, we are not weak as well. We can support in a very different way. We can organize delegations to observe and to see the situation of the refugee camps. We can organize locally on these questions. I think if we organize a campaign, series of events all around the world where we can about right of return, this is very important today, because we know how this will affect the Zionist army and the Zionist movement. They will not like it. They will get angry of it. Today you can see statements by the Zionists attacking Samedun and Ad-Damir, because we are linking what's going on with coronavirus and the situation of the political prisoners. They don't want this. So I think this is where we should go. Organizing for right of return, organizing for the situation of the Palestinians refugees in our countries. How many Palestinian refugees are in Europe are deprived from their rights, are not documented refugees? What we do for them? Where our legal institutions and progressive lawyers can support these refugees, but not only supporting them as to gain their documents, but to raise their cause as those are refugees here, not because they don't want to go. We have right to return, and we have right to remain. You know, if a Syrian refugee or Iraqi refugee or whatever, which nationality, they are struggling for right of remain, we will support them fully. But we as a Palestinians, because we have a different situation, we are still under direct colonialism and occupation, and we are population that were kicked out and ethnically cleansed from our land, we are struggling for our right back. So I don't see the Palestinian population in Belgium, let's say, as a migrants, but or refugees that, okay, we are settling here. No, we are here because we want to go back. So as a solidarity international community and international solidarity movement, I think we should go to our refugee community and also to the camps in different ways. For example, today there is a Naqab center which is a very great educational center, not funded by any EU organization or any state institution, relying on volunteers and some small aid from friends of the of this organization. They are supporting kids in Burj-el-Barajni camp by giving them after school classes, supporting them for their school, because basically the UNRWA, which is the UN school system, education system in Lebanon, it's not just bad, it's corrupt as well. And also it's the goal of it to deprive the kids from education. It's not a real school. It's mostly detention centers, 8 hours a day to keep kids out from home and not in the street, actually. So the need of this Al-Naqab center in the camp, who is linking the education with a national education and in the same time teaching the kids about the rights of return, about Palestine, about updating them about the political prisoners situation. This is where we should support. This center today, for example, are struggling to buy the center because they are renting and they are launching campaign for support. I think we should support a Naqab institution. Today we can support the medical institutions inside the camps as a solidarity movement outside. Sending nurses, sending medical equipment, it's very important. Not money and not statements. Practical and physical support and relation, it's very much needed and important for both, because we benefit as a solidarity movement from this relation. We learn, we have more topics to speak on, we have more direct relation with vulnerable and attacked people. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And just I have a number of questions actually lined up over here, and also some folks that I want to bring into the conversation. Just right before we do that, I did want to ask one more question, which is how do you see the current political situation, given what we've been seeing, kind of the escalations from the United States, the escalations from Israel, the increased use of political conditions by the European Union? How we definitely talk a lot and recognize in a lot of ways how these things are affecting Palestinians inside occupied Palestine. What are the effects that this political situation and these intensified attacks are having on Palestinian refugees in Lebanon and outside as well? Thank you.
Thank you. First, this kind of attacks, it's attacks on the Palestinian identity. So I think this is the most big effects that this can attack on our community. So for example, after the Trump announcement of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to so-called Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Al-Quds, there was a huge demonstration in Berlin. I think Charlotte, you were there in that time, and where tens of thousands of Palestinian youth, unorganized by any faction or any political organization, marched on the streets of Berlin against the Trump decision and against the Zionist state of Israel. I think this is outside Palestine. Sometimes this attack has a positive response within our community because they see that these attacks can bring them more together as in a collective, under collective cause to face, to protect their identity as a Palestinians. Especially because when we are outside of the refugee camps, let's say in Lebanon or in Jordan, outside of the Arab world, and when we are in Europe, and when we are on the United States, I think first, before we are refugee, we as any migrant who's trying to belong and to look for his community. So we have this double feeling that we are, as any migrant, we are looking to belong. And in the same time, we have a cause that can belong. It can bring us together. So I think this is how we can benefit from these attacks. I don't believe that these attacks, because it's mostly a media attack. What does it mean if Trump mean the change the location of the Israeli embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? For me, I think, as a Palestinian refugee, nothing. It's a political media attack to play on the narrative of the people and to say we are strong enough that we can do anything. But I think also this attacks comes from because there's a strong Palestinian resistance, and also because the solidarity movement with our people is effective. and also because the BDS movement is effective. They are doing this because they are not comfortable. And it's not a five-star occupation as they want. There is a political prisoners and daily arrest in West Bank because there is everyday resistance in West Bank. Some of it we know, some of it we don't know about it. Those numbers and names that we don't know of every day, they say in the news, five kids in there get arrested. They arrest them not because they want to arrest them. They arrest them because they know that those are organizers. They are targeted from the Zionist movement. Also, they are bombing Gaza and attacking every day because they know that there is a resistance working on daily basis in Gaza. We saw how the effect of the march of return in Gaza since 2 years, when tens of thousands of Palestinian youth in Gaza living under severe conditions, very bad economically, under siege, whatever, they are ready to go and to be martyrs in the border. This is a political message from our people to the international community. This is not from political parties or organizations. Refugees are saying that this is our cause, right of return, and we are ready in thousands of number to sacrifice for our right of return. So I think the role of solidarity movement, again, within these attacks, not to make the attacks as a measure, but we should go to the attack community and to support them to face these measures, because this is, I think, part of it. It's a media campaigns that they are using against our people.
Thank you so much, Mohammed. Now I have a few people that I would like to ask to join the conversation and say a few words. And then I also have a number of questions that I also want to present to you, or have the people who are asking raise their questions as well. So I wanted to ask, I have Amani that I would like to ask to speak, and also Hatem, who I would like to ask to speak. Would either of you be available to make some comments now? Hi, Hatem. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I'll give Amani the opportunity to speak first, probably, if you're ready.
Nice to see you, Hatem. Long time.
Hi, everyone. I'm really glad we're doing this. This is so important, and I'm thank you to everyone who is participating, and thank you, Charlotte, for organizing this. And I really hope this can become more of a regular call, as the need is dire, as we all heard. And we've been just a few minutes ago, actually, right before I got on the call, I received a message from my friend Ahlam, who's on this call, who's really how can I say, she feel quite a bit of anguish about wanting to help and the refugee camps in Lebanon specifically. And she sent me a link for the Naqab Center, which I kind of looked at while we're talking. So yeah, this is really important. And I really look forward to having more of a specific project that we can work on. That really can make a difference. And I think I would stop right there. So thank you all.
Thank you, Amani, for joining us again. Amani is the national chair of Al-Auda, the Palestine Rights Return Coalition in the United States. We have a number of other Al-Auda members and activists on this call. If you'd like to find out more information about Al-Auda, you can visit their website at alauda.org, and I'll also put the link to Al-Auda's website in the chat. And Hatem, if you'd like to go ahead.
I was waiting for the. Okay, so thank you again. Thank you for Samudun for organizing this event. It's really important. I really don't have a lot of things to add. I just want to echo what Mohammed said. about specifically about the point of our role as Palestinians in diaspora today. We all know that after 1993 and the Oslo Accords, we lost our role as Palestinians in diaspora. When we look at Oslo, it's not only a treaty that was signed and that's it. It also played a big role in the destruction of our national institutions that existed before Oslo in diaspora and really activated the role of the Palestinian community in diaspora and gave them the tools and the ability to organize for their struggle. So today our role is to rebuild those institutions. This is one of the main roles, I think, for the Palestinian community, and Muhammad said it, in diaspora, is to really invest in rebuilding our institutions and vehicles that will help us to carry on our struggle and to activate the youth and the community in diaspora, whether it's in Europe or the US or even Jordan and other places. The last thing that I want to say is what Muhammad mentioned and Amani is a Naqab center. Today, with the coronavirus, the situation in the refugee camps is really, you know, before the coronavirus, the situation in the refugee camps is really bad. They live under horrible conditions for years and years. But today, with the coronavirus, it's escalating. So far, we don't have any cases, but also people are preparing, you know, for if anything happens on the ground in the refugee camps. And I think our role as Palestinians, again, as Muhammad said, is not to go to the international NGOs and to support those NGOs, but our role is to invest in building our institutions, like a Naqab Center, a volunteer-led organization that have been working since 2013 to provide services and education about Palestine and other things for the youth in the camp and for the community in the camp. And today our role as Palestinians and the solidarity movement, especially in Europe and the US, is to support those institutions to continue their work on the ground. And that's it for me. Thank you again for organizing this, and thank you, Muhammad.
Thank you so much, Hatem. And just so you know, I put links to the Al-Naqab Center and also the Palestinian Youth Movement with which Hatem organizes in the links as well. And so I'm going to call on the next set of people that I have that I'd like to invite to say a few words and or also, you know, pose their questions or comments. And so the next person that I'd like to invite to do so is Christian Bailey, who is an activist with Black for Palestine, and it also works with Palestine Legal and does a tremendous amount of great work around Palestine. So Christian, if you'd like to say a few words now.
Sure. Thank you, Charlotte. And hi, comrade. Good to hear from you, and thanks for all your remarks. The right of return and figuring out how we center that as solidarity activists is something that's been really important to me and to Black for Palestine. And just trying to figure out how do we engage in better solidarity. On our end, we have organized a delegation to the camps in Lebanon and visited centers like El Naqab Center. And I just want to give a testament to how important that work is and how hard the guys there are working to really build a sustainable revolutionary culture among the current generation of Palestinians in the camps. But Muhammad, I had a few different things I wanted to hear your thoughts on. The first is around BDS and how Right of Return fits into it. To me, there's not a clear like corporation that is preventing refugees from going home. And so using BDS to amplify Right of Return feels like a much more difficult kind of task if you're trying to engage people who are less familiar with Palestine or the issue of refugees. And I'm wondering how we might be able to work through that. I'm also curious if there are any historical examples of strong campaigns from solidarity organizations around right of return, probably pre-Oslo, but even in more recent time would be good to hear. And it was really, I'm glad that you pointed out that Jordan is where the largest number of Palestinian refugees are. I know that some organizations in the West engage with Palestinians in Lebanon and in Greece and other parts of Europe, but I don't know how much we're engaging with Palestinians in Jordan, and I'm wondering if there are any particular difficulties about the political context of Jordan that make solidarity work more challenging, or if you have any recommendations about, just ways we can engage there.
Thanks so much, Christian. And before we go back to Mohammed for a few minutes, I also want to invite to make some an intervention, Neda Elia, who is a Palestinian scholar and activist, and also a member of the organizing collective of the U.S. Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel. Neda, welcome.
Thank you, Charlotte. Can you see me? Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you. It's all good.
I can't see myself, so that's good. So again, like everyone else, thank you for organizing this. This is really, really very good, very useful, very necessary. I do want to say that I actually agree with Mohammed's criticism of the lack of focus of BDS. It's not very articulated. And I think if we look back on the history of BDS, it is a call that is 15 years old, and that in order for it to be successful, it has to be flexible and it has to adjust. And so initially the focus was, okay, we need BDS for liberation, without necessarily a very intentional articulation of things like right of return, even though it is absolutely in the text of the call. But you know, BDS is not the answer. BDS is a way. And I think that there has been, over the 15 years since the call for BDS was issued, a focus on BDS as if it were the actual destination. So we need to keep in mind at all times that BDS is a tool, and what we want is what the tool can achieve. And we tend to forget that in our celebration of small victories of BDS, small or large. I mean, some of them are extremely significant. But as we focus on the victories, we need to remember that those victories are all trees in a forest, and the forest is what we want eventually. It's like, you know, again, another image that I sometimes use is, we have a car to go somewhere. Well, we can't just fall in love with the car. We need to get to our destination. And there's been, for some reason, people who have embraced BDS, and who every time we post anything outrageous that Israel has done on social media, they say, BDS, BDS, BDS now. not BDS now, right of return now, liberation now, freedom for all now. That's what we need, rather than BDS now. So I think it's important. I do appreciate very much what Mohammed has said. And I think that those of us who are aware of the reality of Palestinian circumstances need to, whenever we hear BDS, BDS, as if BDS were the solution for everything, we need to actually emphasize things like the right of return. Speaking of the right of return and refugees, again, Mohammed mentioned that, but I think it cannot be overemphasized that there is very little understanding in the US, where I am, and I would assume in other countries in the world, of the fact that Palestinian refugees are in the very, very unique circumstance of not being allowed to return. And I do, again, I mentioned that, I discuss that when I bring that up with others. It's like the Syrians, nobody's actually legally preventing them from return, whether they want to or not is their option. But with Palestinians, they are not allowed to return. And again, these are the things that we need to emphasize, that BDS is a strategy. It is not the end all. It is not our goal. It is a goal. It is a strategy for things that we need to be very articulate about. The right of return. And when we say that, we need to explain that the reason Palestinians are in the diaspora is because they are not allowed to return, not because they don't want to return. So I just wanted to say that I actually really do appreciate the points that Mohammed has made. I also want to say again about not relying on NGOs, that for those of us who are in the diaspora, Palestinians in the diaspora, but also our allies, I think it's really important to to go horizontally with sister grassroots organizations, because they are actually the ones that are doing the most necessary, the most useful, the most helpful work. It is not the NGOs. NGOs are part of the problem rather than part of the solution, whereas grassroots organizations are where we should go. And also, I do want to focus, even though I said the circumstances of Palestinians are absolutely unique in that they are refugees who cannot return. Well, actually, you know, as a Palestinian, I can do just about anything. I will not be deported to Palestine because I will not be deported to Palestine, right? I can't return as a Palestinian refugee. But and again, these are the things that we need to, as we work in a network horizontally with grassroots organizations, we actually need to also be explaining to them the differences. So we are in similar but not the same circumstances, if you want. I do feel that I've spoken too much, so I'm going to cut short, but I thank you again. And it's really important to keep those distinctions in mind and to keep the focus and be articulate about what we are about. We do not want BDS. We want return. We want liberation.
Thank you so much, Neda, and thank you so much, Christian, for sharing your comments and thoughts. Mohammed, would you like to respond to any of the points that folks have raised so far in this conversation?
Yeah. Yes. I would love to answer Christian, but it's a lot of questions. And I mean, also, I can talk about BDS for days because it's a very big topic. And I totally agree with Neda and with Hatem. But I will speak for a few minutes about BDS because I think this is a very important topic and we always open it, but we don't really discuss it. And I will share my real thoughts about BDS and how I understand. I was in South Africa exactly 1 year ago, and I met with the, not only me, it was a delegation organized by mostly PYM, and we were there, 20 Palestinian youth from different places, and this was very interesting and very important experience. While we're meeting with many leaders of the movement in South Africa, some of them, the leaders of even the armed struggle, and they were explaining how their relation was with the BDS, let's say, or the boycott committees in Europe and with the solidarity movement and in the United States, and how the coordination was there. So this tool, the boycott tool for the South African, it was dealt with as a real tool to support the struggle, but now not as the main cause. And also I disagree with implementing and copy-paste the apartheid debate and the South African experience or solution on our cause as a Palestinian. I disagree with this at all. But also politically, if we agree that the BDS is the boycott movement exists, as also Neda said, from the 70s. I see posters and pictures for boycott committees in the Netherlands in the 70s in Nijmegen doing protests and calling for BDS. People have been campaigning and organizers from the solidarity movement for boycotts tens of years ago. And this is a big campaign and big topic that has a big history. But it was a tool and it's still a tool. But politically, I disagree with the BDS because who's the BDS committee? Who organized BDS? BDS is a popular movement. This is a name. This is a call for action. It's not a political organization that led by a few people that we don't know. How me as a Palestinian refugee involved in, on daily basis on calling for BDS and organizing? How I am involved in this committee? Why I need someone to send me an email from Ramallah telling me you campaign on this, on this, on this, and he have never been in European campus or American campus. This is not logical, but this is a political decision that this movement should be used by the, I'm not saying it used by the PA, but it should be under control and should be in the main place of Ramallah where things are exist. And I disagree with this. If the BDS and our work is in diaspora and in outside, also we outside who are involved in this, we have to play a role. And there we have to share our thoughts that this is the only tool and this is not the cause. And there when we have this space of sharing and being involved in how to organize and to design the campaigns and the call for the benefit of the movement, we can say this. About Jordan, I think also it's a big question, because we are not, by law in Jordan, Palestinian political organizations are not allowed to organize and mobilize publicly. So some of the Palestinian leftist organizations have Jordanian political organizations, but socially within the situation in Jordan, many things have been changed. So, and this political organizations become a small Jordanian political organizations trying to connect Palestine with the Jordanian struggle. But we are speaking about a very oppressive Arab regime, because also what we have been going through within the PLO and after Oslo and this, if we speak against the Jordanian regime, then it's like we are intervening in another country political relation, and we have no right to do this. But no, this affects us directly. More than half of our population as Palestinians live in Jordan, and they are suffering. They are living under very heavy security, oppressive, reactionary regime. And we have history of struggle with this. So unfortunately, because we don't have a national liberation movement today and project outside, and as diaspora, we are not playing a role. That's why we are not allowed to organize in Jordan. The balance of power is different, right? But if we start organizing and mobilizing, because if we look in the 70s or 60s, how Palestinian political organization, even the one we criticize today, and it became the PA and doing security coordination with Gaza. When we start mobilizing in Jordan and in Lebanon and in Syria, all of them, they faced the regimes there. You have organizers, Abu Maher Yamani in Lebanon, he was arrested in Lebanon maybe more than 50 times. Not by the Zionists, by the Lebanese government. In Jordan, they used to take out your nails in the Jordanian prisons if you mobilize and organize for Palestine. So they use the heavy torture against Palestinians, these Arab regimes. So our duty also in the north and in the west as Palestinians, where we are not under these regimes, we have right to criticize these regimes. We have a duty to speak as Palestinians in diaspora about the Jordanian political prisoners in Jordanian prisons. We have a duty to speak about the Egyptian political prisons, prisoners under the Sisi dictator in Jordan, in Egypt. This is not interfering in any other regime or a state relationship or policy. This is a duty for the Palestinian cause to lead and to protect our people around the Arab world. And we can do this. I will not be arrested. I will not face any sanctions or arrest from the Jordanian or the Egyptian. But if in Gaza, maybe they cannot mobilize a demonstration calling against the Egyptian regime. But we can do this. Samidun, we can do this. The PYM can do this. Al-Auda, can we do this? And I think, and I do believe this is part of our duty. And even if we think that, oh, this is a confrontation, and maybe this is will lead us to some problematic things, our people in Palestine, they are in prisons and they are killed because they are confronting. If this will be the measure that every confrontation, where it will be higher level of confrontation, that we have to step back and to rethink, then nothing will be done. I think there is a level of confrontation and there is a level of sacrifice for any cause. Even if you struggle for the animals' right, you sacrifice. You have many martyrs was killed because they struggled and sacrificed for the LGBT movement. So I think in every cause there is this level. So in Jordan, I agree it's almost impossible, but I think this is the best place and space where we can start and think how we can rebuild and also build back relationships with our people there, because this is the biggest borders with the Zionists. You can, back from Amman, you can see Jerusalem. So this is about Jordan. About having a campaign about right of return lately, I don't think so. Unfortunately, there's nothing. I didn't saw any campaign since the last 4 or 5 years, like a real massive campaign, a political direct massive campaign. Yes, there is many small initiatives here and there, but I wish, and I'm ready to participate and support and do whatever we can as Muhammad, but as Samidun, an earning campaign directed to right of return, also supporting our people in Lebanon or in Jordan or anywhere in difficult conditions. It's very easy to link practically right of return with the BDS movement, because as Nada said, yes, it's on the paper, it's on the call, But we shouldn't be only on the call. It should be the main cause. So yes, I want to call people to boycott, but I want to explain to them why. And I think if we are saying the refugees, I know this is the most catastrophic event happened to Palestinian people. Yes, the South African, they have their struggle, or in Latin America, many peoples. But the specific situation, what happened with the Palestinians, because as people, we were kicked out from this country. So I think this is a major event for any loyal citizen, normal, even liberal, white dude. If you tell him that there was millions of people assassinated and killed on the same time, and this is by the history of the Zionist, what they are saying this, and admitted by Israeli historians like Ilan Pepe, and explaining what happened, I think this is the best reason why they should be and participate and boycott Israel. And in the same time, I do believe our duty outside, and one of the main roles how we as organizers for boycott, we should work, and this is how I do believe. I think our role is not only to boycott Israel or to call for sanctions. Our main role as a solidarity movement to normalize with the Palestinian resistance and to normalize with the Palestinian national liberation movement and to make this normal. I am not afraid to say I support armed resistance in Palestine because this is a United Nations declaration. This is not something I'm bringing up from my mind. This is not a Maoist theory or a Lenin said this or some radical person. This is a human right, basic human rights that you should defend yourself. Basic human right that you should organize yourself. So I'm not hesitating to say any of this in Europe or anywhere else. Yes, maybe there will be some confrontation, but I am ready and willing to confront this back because this is my right. It's very simple as that. So I think our role as a solidarity movement to make Palestinian resistance something very normal and even fancy, that we should, it should be interesting for the ecological movement to support the Palestinian resistance because we are not only struggling to protect human beings, because we're also struggling to protect land and trees and environment and our nature. So this.
Great, thank you so much, Mohammed. I have a few people lined up to say a few words. And I also still have a list of questions because we've been getting a lot of comments and questions coming in on the chat. Now, one of the things that I'm going to invite our next speaker to address is something that's also been coming up in the chat, which is about the kinds of practical moves that we can take. Amani, who spoke earlier, has commented on this, emphasizing that it would be great to take away some tangible projects and proposals for campaigns. Now, one that has already come up so far, in addition to the political discussion, or kind of as part of the political discussion, is the campaign to support a Nakba Center. And the person who is going to speak next, who is Dr. Ahlan Muhtasab, who is someone we're also really honored to have with us today on this call, is also going to share some more thoughts on practical ways that people can get involved and materialize, as you were saying earlier, their support. And we also have some more comments below, but one thing that I wanted to note, you know, we're having these political discussions because what we want to do is build and strengthen and intensify our movement for the liberation of Palestine, which absolutely includes boycotting Israel and being part of BDS campaigns. And as Sami Dune, we are very much part of those campaigns. And so the comments that people are having are to be part of a productive discussion to move forward and strengthen our collective work and activism so that we can make those campaigns stronger as part of our support for Palestinian liberation and return. So with that being said, I would like to turn it over to Dr. Ahlan Muhtasab to make her comments.
Marhaba, assalamu alaikum, hi everyone. I would like to steer the conversation, as Charlotte just said, in a little bit different than the important discussions over the right of return and BDS and you know, the liberation movement. And the reason is because of the dire situation in the Palestinian refugee camps, especially in Lebanon. And Amani mentioned earlier that I was anguished and I'm a little bit distressed, yes, because of the reports that I have been hearing from coming out of the refugee camps, particularly in Lebanon, where I actually worked, you know, several rounds doing field work there and filming. So maybe I have a special attachment to those refugee camps. But it seems that, and please correct me if I'm mistaken, because those are based on reports from some of the indigenous grassroots organizations in the refugee camps, that the refugee camps are have zero preparation for COVID-19 pandemic. They have zero ventilators, as I understand. The UNRWA staff has left. They were forced to, leaving the refugees basically on their own. And it's just a matter of time for a huge disaster to happen or hit again those refugee camps. And I think, you know, yes, we want to build institutions and build, you know, strong collaboration efforts and all of that. But at the current moment, we have to deal with those situations. And therefore, I suggest, and, you know, those are just suggestions. You are welcome to, you know, discuss those. Maybe start a campaign, an international one, not only to raise funds necessarily, but to raise any medical equipments, anything that could be, you know, donated to the refugee camps, just to deal with this pandemic. If it spreads, we are talking about maybe thousands of refugees dying if they don't have ventilators or beds or basic medical needs. And we all know how terrible it is. My husband is a scientist and actually he works on testing kits right now. That's his field. I will ask him about, he has some connections, so the possibility maybe of buying ventilators. I don't know if others on the call have similar experiences, but I honestly think we should collaborate with the organizations on the ground in Lebanon in particular, because at least in Gaza, there are few that are operational there, and start, you know, maybe a campaign. And I'll let others expand on this. I know that Hatem has been working with them for some time.
Thank you so much, Ahlam, for your comments. And one thing I do want to let people know is after this call, I am going to be sending an email to all of the participants. So if people on this call would like to be in touch with each other or with other people kind of about how we can move these things forward, please reply to that email so that I can help to, and we as Sami Dune can help to network people together to continue those projects and support them moving forward. And certainly we will support those projects moving forward as well. Obviously we're a grassroots organization, so like providing contributions isn't necessarily the way that we can do that, but certainly by publicizing it, sharing it, working to fundraise among our contacts and otherwise, and to reach you know, people who are able to do things like provide medical equipment. So I think this is very important. And thank you for starting this conversation as well. And I do want to emphasize there will be communication moving forward. We'll also be sharing the recording of this call. So again, please respond to that email if you'd like to be further involved in any of these conversations and need to be connected with other people on the call who raised important ideas that you would like to be a part of. So the next person that I'd like to call to say a few words as part of this conversation is actually the person who was our main speaker last week for this webinar, Palestinian writer Khaled Barakat, who is with us as well. Let me just see if Khaled is ready to join us.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just want to thank Muhammad for his remarks and Sami Dune for organizing this webinar. And I want to just emphasize on the issue that I think it's really important today, and that is to recognize that Palestinian popular classes, particularly refugees and the camps, are vulnerable and without an alternative, while Palestinian capitalists, or the 1% in our case, is the those individuals who are manipulating the Palestinian political decisions and institutions. And as Muhammad said, basically hijacked the Palestinian Liberation Movement and project and turn it into this PA. Because without recognizing this, we will not be able to start building for the revolutionary alternative. Popular classes today, meaning that millions of Palestinians in Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and other places. In the last 10 years, the demographic situation changed, not just in the camps. Take, for example, a refugee camp like Shatila. Today, the vast majority of the people who live in the camps are impoverished people from all over the world. Somalians, Kurds, Iraqis, Syrians, you name it, Lebanese, poor Lebanese, they come to the camp. Shatila camp was designed to take 2,000 refugees. There's about 22,000 today in the camp. So the demographic situation of our camps is changing. Also, we're not anymore a community who lives in Berlin of, you know, 100 students. They come, they study, and go back. There are tens of thousands of Palestinians today in Berlin, in Brussels, in Malmo, in the heart of Europe. And not just Palestinian refugees, we're almost become all Palestinians as Arabs, because Arabs today are also experiencing this horrific experience of becoming a refugee. So I think that issues like BDS and the Solidarity Movement and other issues is a daily topics that we interact and talk about all the time. I am interested very much on the bigger picture of Palestinians and their allies to think about, and that is the alternative for Palestine. Because take Muhammad, for example. Muhammad was, you know, when Oslo happened, Muhammad was 1 year old, 1 year or 2 years old. So this generation, the Palestinian generation that was born after 1990, 1993, are today the one who's facing the task of liberation. But they're not playing a leadership role. They're not in the in the decision making, and while they are the one who is participating daily in keeping the struggle alive, it is the generation of Muhammad and Hatem and all Palestinians, really, but the youth of Palestine, whether they're in Palestine or in exile, today they have to reclaim or claim their right to change and to lead, and Palestinian women as well. There is no national liberation movement without a vital and central role of Palestinian women on leadership and Palestinian youth. And so I think that this is a big topic, a big challenge, but it is really the one that is facing us today. And I agree with all the comments that was said by Neda and Hatem on how to look at the boycott movement today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Khaled, for sharing your thoughts. And thank you, Dr. Ahlam, for bringing up the important practical aspects of this discussion and how our political work can work hand in hand with you know, material and direct support to in order to strengthen the steadfastness of Palestinian refugees who are continuing to struggle for the right of return, something that is incredibly difficult to do if it is impossible almost to live. So I do have a few other folks on this call. Khaled Hijazi, who's also with an Awda, Palestine Right to Return Coalition. I'm having some difficulty unmuting you. Please send me a chat if you are still on the call. I mean, I see you're on the call, if you're able to talk so that I can unmute you. Now I also have a comment from Ali Almiari. And Khaled is on. That's great. So I'm going to ask you to make your comments as well. And thank you so much for joining us today. And then after this, I'm going to go to Ali Miari, who's going to be sharing some thoughts about the situation of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon today. And once again, thanks to everyone for joining us and being part of this conversation. So Khaled, welcome. Khaled, I'm sorry, we can't hear you. We can see you, but we can't hear you. Your microphone isn't showing up, so if you can go down to the bottom of your screen and choose next to where it would say, there should be a little picture of a microphone, and at the bottom of your screen, and you could choose choose a microphone so that we could be able to hear you. While you're working on that, I'm going to call on Ali to say a few words, and hopefully we can get your microphone situation sorted out. Ali, would you like to say something?
Hi, everyone. So my name is Ali Mari. I'm a Palestinian refugee from Lebanon. I study in the university in Cyprus, and I would like to discuss some issues we're facing right now, like in the Palestinian camps in Lebanon. So first of all, I would like to discuss, like, most of the kids who are, like, in schools or, like, who dropped out of the schools are facing discriminations from the NGOs that follows the political parties. Like, some NGOs, they say, like, okay, we are non-political, but they are actually political, or the leader of that NGO is political, and they do some discrimination according to that. Then I would like to say, like, we're having, like, so many issues with the education. The UNRWA, everyone knows, like, the UNRWA is not interested a lot, like, in teaching in English, or, like, they focus just, like, on making the student pass, or they're overcrowding the students in the schools. The UNRWA schools right now, they're having, like, around 40 students to 50 students in each class, which is terrible. Like, and only, like, they're having one teacher for 50 students. They can't handle it. Also, the UNRWA in Lebanon is having the issues of the connections. So, like, each region is having, like, the guy responsible for each region in the UNRWA is having, like, making connections for other people who are joining it. So the jobs and mainly the jobs are only distributed to their connections. Besides, like, most of the teenagers, they are forced to go to political directions. Most people, they try to be independent, especially, like, they don't want to go or join the main two parties, the Palestinian parties in the camps. But they are forced to do that because, like, they don't have, if they don't do that, they're out of connections. And if they're out of connections, they are not able to maintain work in the future or, like, do the same, the basic living. So that leads for the teenager to go to be driven away to drugs. And, like, so many issues, like, most of the teenagers are facing right now. And besides that, we're having, like, issues with the construction materials. And, like, the Lebanese army in Lebanon is prohibiting any construction material to be entered to the camps. They're, like, it's completely prohibited. and people get insulted a lot facing the checkpoints at the entrance of each camp. Beside that, the financial issues that was delivered due to the Lebanese revolution and the drop of the Lebanese lira compared to the dollar, and like the black market is now controlling the whole situation of the US dollar in Lebanon. And the discussions of the decisions of the Lebanese ministries about like all the Palestinians should have work visas. And first of all, like Palestinians, they are not able to pay for the fees of the work visas. And like even like the basic jobs, they still need like work visas. Otherwise, they will be forced to leave their jobs. So I would like to ask Muhammad like to discuss a little bit about those stuff. And that's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Ali. Thank you for your comments. Khaled Hujazi is here and he doubt his microphone is working. So I'd like to ask Khaled to make some comments before we take the final comments and questions and then go back to Mohammed for the final comments of the day. So Khaled, welcome. I'm sorry, Khaled, your mic isn't working again. Khaled? I'm sorry, Khaled, we can't hear you. If you could just check down by the microphone at the bottom of your Zoom screen and see if it says select a microphone, and if you can choose the internal microphone on your computer. I'm sorry, we can't hear you. If you do have comments and you can type them out, we can, I will read them out for you. I'm sorry that we can't, hear you. I'm sorry, there's a technical issue. But while you're working on this, now I see you muted. Could you try to click unmute on your microphone on the bottom of the screen, Khaled? I'm just gonna try to unmute you. Khaled, can you try now? Can you try now? I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Thank you so much. And if you write your comments, I will relay them to everyone. I have a question or a comment from Rani Alan. Rani, if you'd like to speak now. Rani? Okay, I also have a few questions that were sent in over text. And I will, let's see, it seems that Rani is on with two names, so I need to unmute his other one. In the meantime, I'm just going to read out some of the questions so that you can include these in your comments in addition to your comments on Ali's, Mohammed. So these questions are, Gaza is currently blockaded by Israel, and Cuba, a socialist country in Latin America, is blockaded by the US and has been for six decades. What kind of conversations and mutual solidarity is there between Palestinians and Cubans about fighting the blockade? The next question that I have is, in a world where the PA is doing what it should be doing for the Palestinian refugees, what would those things be? And the third question is a bit lengthier. It's written by someone who has been to Lebanon and agrees with Mohammed that the reason for the situation of Palestinian refugees, which was also elaborated on by Ali, is their statelessness. And as Hannah Arendt observed, citizenship is the right to have rights. So how do you think the BDS movement can further work on the right of return. Finally, we have a question from a member of the organizing group of the UK Boycott Israel Network. And, you know, media and politicians have been attacking the movement by focusing on anti-Semitism. And what do you think is the most useful way that we can be effective toward returning the focus to the Palestinian struggle for justice, liberation, and return? Now, it looks like Rani is here. I have unmuted him. So, Rani,
hello.
If you can ask your comments.
Okay, good. Sorry, I wasn't sure what was happening. So I want to go back to Muhammad's point about oppression in Jordan and mobilizing the community. First, I would like to thank you, Charles. I forgot to mention that. Thank you, Muhammad. So when it comes to like criticizing Arab regimes, you were mentioning the political prisoners and other Arab regimes, and like what kind of mechanism or strategy should we practice in terms of like including the oppression happening in other Arab regimes? And like something that happens sometimes is the division amongst Palestinians who support the Jordanian regime and support other Arab regimes. And like, how can we, I guess, like make it some sort of inclusive or some pan-Arab way of liberating Palestine? And in terms of like reach out and building a movement. Hello?
We can hear
Hello?
You.
Hello? Oh, okay, my bad. In terms of reaching out, like, is it better to just focus on Palestine right now? Or is it okay to include as well or criticize the other Arab regimes and like the impact that will have upon certain Palestinian communities and the possible chance of dividing the Palestinian communities over that? So I want to ask about the mechanism or strategy for that. And I want to ask also about like when it comes to the refugees in Jordan and other countries who basically have no sort of agency in terms of speaking out, like our role as Palestinians abroad, what kind of like mechanism or strategy can we also provide to support them to speak on behalf of themselves? And sometimes I see like Palestinians abroad speaking on behalf of the Palestinians in the refugee camps. So how can we also be cautious about that as well? And check our special privilege that some of us might have abroad. And I also want to go back to what Ahlam mentioned about fundraising campaigns. I think like that's something extremely important we should mention, and like we can also connect to the local organizations if we haven't already, and to the refugees and ask them what they need from us specifically and what we can offer. I know some have mentioned the need for fundraising, and I think you know, it's more strategic to connect with them and hear what they want from us. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Rani, for your comments. And thank you to everybody for your questions, for your input, for your discussion that has led to a very incisive discussion. I mean, thank you to Muhammad for leading this great conversation today. Thank you, Khalid Barakat, Amani, Dr. Ahlam, Hatem, and Neda, and Ali and Rani, and everyone who's been part of this discussion so far today. Because again, this is just, as was mentioned, this is the beginning of a conversation. It's building on a great deal of work that's been continuing for many years and that we want to bring forward as well. So we want to continue to talk together about how we can support each other, how we can support groups like the Al-Nakab Center, how people can get involved with Al-Awda's campaigns to provide practical support to Palestinian refugees. And I'll be sending out all of the links that are related to these things in the follow-up email. So I want to ask Muhammad to kind of respond to these various points that have been brought up towards the end of the conversation. but then also to remind everyone about the two upcoming events that I mentioned earlier, especially because many people are on the call now that were not on the call before, that tomorrow there will be an Arabic language webinar. Khaled Barakat had some amazing things to say in this conversation. He, along with Hadia Abu Bakra, will be speaking tomorrow, Friday, April 3rd, at a Zoom webinar, which will take place at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Europe, and 8 p.m. Palestine. This will be on boycott, solidarity, and the Palestinian struggle, some of the themes that Khaled just started to talk about today. And that's going to be in Arabic. Now, then next week, same time as this webinar, there will be one in English on the campaign to free George Abdallah with representatives of Collectif Palestine Vaincre from France. And that will be taking place at the same time 1 week from today. I'm going to put those links in the chat again. So with that, thank you, everybody. Together, we're going to keep marching for a free Palestine from the river to the sea. But before we end, I'd like to ask Mohammed for his responses and comments to kind of all of the points that have been raised as part of the last part of the discussion. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharma. And thank you for all of these comments. And I think it's a lot of questions and comments, but I will try to include them in very briefly. Thank you, Ali, very much, to be honest, because you brought a very important thing that I totally forget, even though I wrote about it, which is the great uprising of the refugee camps in Lebanon lately against the racist laws by the Lebanese Ministry of Labor. And I think what our people did in Lebanon as a mass movement, mass uprising, was distracted later by the Palestinian Authority and some factions in a very bad way. But I think this act by our people collectively, I think this was the first, what I saw in my generation, this was the first after the second Intifada period when thousands and tens of thousands of Palestinians on the streets marching for something that related to them. But what is amazing was lately, because this was marching for something related directly and affecting their life since the Nakba, actually. So what's going on in Lebanon regarding the UNRWA services and the bad, this disaster services, and pretending that as a service, but actually this is nothing compared to the real situation of our people. And as Khaled said, our people in Lebanon living in slums, which is worse than Soweto in South Africa. So I think this is a very serious topic where we should go more deeply. And I totally agree with Ahlam initiative that, and I will try to end up again with what Ahlam said, that if we can go out of this great event and very nice and amazing discussion with something very practical, maybe later with the help of Charlotte, contact list, and we can keep in contact, launch a campaign, do our best what we can, help and organize and mobilize with Lebanon, which is a very, very, very important thing. About the blockade of Gaza, I don't agree that Gaza is not only blocked by Israel. Gaza is under siege by the Arab regime, especially the Egyptian ones, and also the PA. So there is three main factors who are playing this siege on Gaza. And I think we should struggle in this. And what is the relation between the blockade in Gaza and, for example, the Cuba or Venezuela or even Iran or any country facing this kind of international sanctions by imperialism? Our response to this should be building again our relationship as a grassroots, not as a PA or an official, so-called official representative of our people, with the national liberation movements in these countries. We have, as a national liberation movement and a youth movement, grassroots organizations in Lebanon, elsewhere in the Shatat, especially in diaspora, we have a duty to build our relationship again with the Filipino movement, with the Colombian movement, with the Bolivian movement. And Bolivia, we had a very great and progressive president. He came and he left, and we haven't visited Bolivia. He was the real representative of Palestine in the United Nations, not Mahmoud Abbas. And there was a coup. And what our relation to this? So I think part of our duty to rebuild this relationship with the Black movement in the United States, such as Christian as a very great intervention, and how they start practically building back this relationship between with Black for Palestine and what they did in the refugee camps in Lebanon. We can see there's a relationship with the youth centers in Nahr al-Bared and in Shatila and Burj al-Barajni. What I think the PA should do, personally, I think the PA should end the PA, and we don't need the PA. We need to rebuild our national liberation movement, and we need to rebuild our umbrella to bring all Palestinians from different ideologies, background, to struggle again for a national liberation project. But practically, if we say what the PA can do and they don't do, which is we have to question, what is the PA representative or the PLO representative in the United Nations is doing for political prisoners, especially now with coronavirus? Absolutely nothing. What the PA representative for the EU and the ambassador in Brussels are doing for the political prisoners? Nothing. What the PA is doing today, the PA and the political parties in Lebanon, not all, but some of the PA political parties in Lebanon, they are distributing kit boxes, food boxes in Lebanon, and they are excluding the Palestinian refugees from Lebanon. This is a crime. If we have a Palestinian revolution, those should go to court. Excluding one Palestinian from another and creating this racist narratives and discrimination within the Palestinian community than bringing people together. So I think the PA or the PLO or whatever any people in power can do anything, but also because I am very realistic, I don't expect from them anything to do because this is against their existence. I don't expect from the PA to struggle to liberate political prisoners because practically they are handing out political prisoners to the Israelis. I don't believe that the PA will struggle for right of return because they are saying that the right of return is under the negotiation table. This is something, it's a problematic, they call it as a problematic topic. So it's a topic for them. It's not a cause for them anymore. So I don't expect from them anything. And I think the best what we do is to exclude the PA from our national movement and to be realistic also about what is the PA. The PA today exists only in few areas in West Bank, not all of West Bank. All of West Bank today is full of settlers and area B and C and all of this discussion. So where is the PA today? The PA today doesn't go to Al-Azariya village. So about the anti-Semitism in Europe and how we should confront this. Also, I think we should be more realistic with this because who is advocating and saying that the solidarity movement with Palestine is anti-Semitic? It's the right wing. And who is the right wing? This is the new Nazi movement in Europe. And they are the one who is collaborating today with the Zionist movement. So we have to focus on this, that those Nazis today in Europe, the white racist nationalist supremacists are working directly today with Netanyahu. This is their allies. So we shouldn't be under these attacks or really be affected because this is also what I believe it's as media campaigns playing against the Palestinian. Of course, we should confront this on all means, but we shouldn't be hijacked with this. We should, confronting this means relating more Palestine with the anti-racist movement in Europe. Confronting anti-Semitism discourse created by Zionists and right-wing means intensifying our relationship with organizations working on migrants and anti-Islamophobia and homophobia and anti-Semitism. Confronting this by building more strong relations with Jewish anti-Zionist movements like Jewish Voice for Peace, which is creating a great example. I think this is how we confront this, and also intensifying our relationship with our Jewish comrades, who are really anti-Zionist and want to be part of the struggle. So I think that's it. About the Iranian comments, sorry, regarding any strategy. Of course, we don't speak about the refugees on behalf of refugees. We are refugees. I am refugees, and I think Rani yourself, you are a refugee. Amani is a refugee. For me, Hatem, even if he's Khalili or from Jerusalem, he's in the United States. He is by default for me he's a refugee, because in any time maybe he will try to go back home, even if he will have an American citizenship, he can be deprived from getting back home. See, as long as the occupation exists, I recognize every Palestinian live outside Palestine, even by choice. When he is in the he's part of the diaspora. The issue is not being just a refugee living in a camp. We have a big Palestinian community today doesn't live in the camps. My mom doesn't live in a camp. In the camp, she lived near the camp. Saida became the camp. As Khaled mentioned, today it's not only the camps. We are speaking about popular classes in Lebanon that should be together fighting against the racist government in Lebanon. Our people in Lebanon today, their struggle goes along with the Ethiopian and migrants, workers in Lebanon. We cannot win this front. But in the same time, with the Lebanese comrades and with the Lebanese revolution struggling for women's rights and for equal rights and for ending this sectarian regime, this is what we should do in Jordan. This is what we should do everywhere. We Palestinians, I don't agree with you that some Palestinians support this regime and some Palestinians support other regime. I think by default, Palestinians in general don't support any regime. Yes, we have a political parties, we have a political opinions and decisions, but as a people, we don't support regimes because we know regimes are always oppressive. So this is, I think, we should take it by default. And we also in the same time should understand the situation of our people who live in Jordan. And this is where we should question our privilege, because I cannot expect from them to do anything that could face them, whatever they decide, if they will face danger or whatever. But I should see also what I can do and not look about what they have to do under this repressive regimes. So I think that's it. But I want to end with the about the campaign. If we can, from this event, take the opportunity to launch a campaign for right of return, for supporting the Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, I think this will be a big victory within this situation and confronting coronavirus and bringing us together in a practical manner.
Thank you so much, Mohammed. I'm going to come back to you one more time. Thank you so much. Before we fully end the conversation, I want to note that Ahlam has specified in the chat that they are looking for ventilators and for medical supplies. So this is a direct need that is one thing that's been expressed, so that this can be a part of the work moving forward as well. I'll be including that as well as a link to the Al-Naqab Center in the email that I send out afterwards. I do want to call on Khaled Hijazi because he's been working so hard to be heard on this call, including reconnecting and calling in over the phone. So Khaled, I see that you're on the phone now. So I just want to call on you to make your comments.
Thank you very much, Charlotte. And actually, you can hear me now?
Finally.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I know this is the end of this. It has been a long meeting, and I don't want to inundate or overwhelm us further. Mohammed, I think you have addressed what I was going to say. And I first want to really thank you for taking the initiative. I think for us as Palestinians, the situation is imperative. It is stark. For us to start moving forward as Palestinian refugees, to take the matters on our own hands. The thing, again, just reiterating, right after the Oslo, we were left alone. We are the majority, but we are the silent majority, and we are completely disenfranchised. We have so many problems and all facets, out there, but the problem is that we lack the structure. We lack the venue, the means for us to work and become effective. And one thing, for instance, the COVID-19 now, and the problems that we are facing in the refugee camps in Lebanon, and there are so many. But for myself, as a member of Al-Awda, the Palestine Right to Retain Coalition here in the United States, along with Amani and others, I really would like to welcome all of you or any who's interested to join us, because what we need is an organization, an institution that is empowered for us to accomplish all the issues that we have at hand. So if you were a member in the past, I would like to ask you to come back And if you would, if you want to become a member, please reach out to myself, Khaled Hijazi, or Amani, or any other members of Al Awda. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Khaled, for your call. And before, and I just want to go to Mohammed, if you'd like to follow up on this with any final comments before I close. Mohammed? Sorry. Here.
Shukran. I don't have anything to add, actually. I want to just come up and to say the same as Khaled said. Anyone who feel want to be involved on trying to launch a campaign or organizing more, please feel free to reach out to Samidun. But also, if it can be, if you propose for any collective, another discussion to go more practically how we can respond to this. I want to say that in this during this week, we have been in a direct call with many different organizations, grassroots, non-profit, non-NGOs organizations in Lebanon, and especially the youth clubs, the cultural youth clubs and Al-Naqab, and they told us that they are going to write a statement as a call for the Palestinian community around the world to support and to have a direct response to the current crisis in during the coronavirus. But I think also it's an opportunity if we can launch a campaign and go beyond the coronavirus, because I do believe that inshallah, yani, this event will pass, but the situation of the camps will continue as it is. So we have to follow up as what Ali said, and Rani, and Ahlam, and see how we can collectively get out of, from this with a collective campaign. And I think during this period, when I'm in direct discussion with people in Lebanon or in Greece or whatever, everyone is saying, whatever idea I propose, they say anything today is very important. Anything, because there is nothing is happening there really in direct. There is many things happening on the ground, but with a very small and limited resources and access and whatever. And this is where we can play a very important role and support. I agree what Ahlam said, that all of this discussion, it's a long discussion and ongoing discussion, and very important about BDS, about national liberation movement, about how we see our movement today or our future. But I do believe without going out from a practical perspective, we cannot answer all of these questions. So I think doing a practical work, direct work with our people will help us a lot to figure out together a collective vision, how we see our alternative revolutionary project.
Great, thank you so much. And also we fully support everything that Khaled said about getting involved with Al Awda, which is a great organization. It's actually, outside of my university campus, it's the first organization that I became involved with doing Palestine solidarity work a long time ago. So I definitely want to reiterate that, but also want to talk about how we can work together and also invite everyone on this call to get involved with Samidun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, both by getting involved in a chapter in your area or by contacting us about starting a chapter or about starting a Samidun kind of committee within your existing organization with like a focus on Palestinian prisoners that can be part of those campaigns and demands, because we'd love to work with you and expand our network both in these critical times of COVID-19, but also for the many years of struggle to come. So one of the proposals that has come up that we are going to move forward with and we will be contacting people about is doing another webinar and online discussion specifically about the camps, including how we can focus on supporting the camps in the time of coronavirus, with Mohammed talking and with maybe some folks from the Al-Naqab Center, with Dr. Ahlam and some others, but we'll be providing more, you know, information about that in the period to come, but that is something that we'd very much like to follow up on and invite people to be part of that discussion moving forward. If that's something that you're interested in, please do send a message in the chat or reply to the follow-up email. I also do just want to remind everyone about tomorrow's Arabic language webinar with Khaled Barakat. The link to sign up and the flyer is below. And next week's webinar on George Ibrahim Abdullah. And again, to find out more about what Samidun is doing, you can visit our website at samidun.net. And I think, Mohammed, would you like to say something else?
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, everyone, for listening and for sharing your thought. I just want to say it's very logical when Samidun organize for refugees, because when we organize for prisoners, we understand very well how much important to organize for refugees, and we see them as both connected issue, one topic, and we see them as the two main causes today where we, as Charlotte said, more extremely vulnerable community, but also in the same time, not as a weak vulnerable, I don't mean in the same word, but I see this is where the biggest potential of building a new alternative for Palestine. The prisoners are the leadership of our national liberation movement. They are the one who is in everyday confrontation with the Zionist prisoners in Zionist prisons. And also the refugees are sieged, are attacked, as Ali explained, checkpoints, deprived from traveling, because also they are the biggest potential for building a new alternative and national liberation movement. So I call on you to both participate and also focus in these two main topics that annoy the Zionist movement, the PA, the Palestinian bourgeoisie, and every reactionary organization, and together until victory. Thank you.
Great. Thank you again. And thank you again for that message, emphasizing the fact that we are part of a collective movement of struggle that is liberation-oriented, anti-racist, revolutionary, and progressive, stands with every movement that is fighting for justice and stands against all of those reactionary forces that represent racism, colonialism, and exploitation in the world today.
I do believe, because we are different organizations here, but we are not different in our political thought. We are focusing on prisoners. Al-Awda is focusing on right of return. PYM is focusing on the youth. We are politically on the same page. What we miss today is one umbrella that we can coordinate our work together and campaigns to be more effective and direct and precise for this alternative. Because we represent these forces. Because when we say we should build our institutions, this is where our institutions, maybe we need more, but we are part of these institutions that we are talking about. But we are not different forces, we are one force. And I think we should start from this.
Great, thank you again. And thank you for those inspiring words. And thank you once again for everyone who was part of this conversation today, who spent these 2 hours with us today, and who's going to be continuing to struggle with us moving forward. We look forward to continuing the conversation. And of course, thank you, Mohammed, for leading our conversation today. Thank you again to everyone. And we'll be in touch in the coming hours. Thanks again. And hope you can join us again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Shem.